Hey everybody, welcome to the Sports Day HS podcast. I am Michael Florek here with a slightly limited crew here. Ooh. We got the man.
Well, thanks.
Which has nothing to do with somebody being missing. We're just slightly limited.
That's not what I meant. I understand the animosity, but I got the magnificent Matt Wicks in here.
Oh, thank you. Made up for it right there.
And then the awesome Avi Zalin.
Wow, that's a lot more credit than I deserve.
Yeah,
well, I was hoping we would be able to intro me with like the John Cena song, because I'm like the champ. I'm the champ now because I'm winning the game.
Yeah, we'll get into the Nobody Believes in Us game a little later.
Sorry.
In the pod.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump.
No, it was a
I'm
good.
Excited.
It's a good tease, but Avi is on the board. We officially Woo-hoo! Have 1 point.
Yes.
So, yeah. So I mean that should hold your interest here as we look towards the Nobody Believes in Us game in week 3.
Yeah.
I mean that's the highlight each week, right?
The well,
nobody
now that,
believes in us game.
Now that somebody's
Although
actually
we're not sure if we believe in it yet. We're still.
Well, I was gonna say now that somebody's actually picked one correctly, like I'm hoping this carries momentum, further into the season where
right.
we'll actually have like a good, you know, parity, or I could just blow all y'all away. We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully it's a parity. I should say. Let's just get into the games of the week here, and I think the main one was Denton Ryan, Frisco Lone Star. Matt, you were at that game.
Mm-hmm.
You watched Denton Ryan kind of roll there at the end.
Yeah.
But what did you kind of make of both teams? Do you think Frisco Lone Star is still kind of a title contender for you?
I do, especially when their quarterback and Jason Shelley. God, I was like the name. I'm like, oh, froze. Jason Shelley, when he came back in the game, he went out with a knee injury in the second quarter. I'm like, oh, there's the season.
Yeah.
But he came back and he was fine. Yeah, I'll talk about Lone Star first. I think they are a contender. They're going to be in Division II, 5A Division II. The thing that they could run into is if they get a big physical team that can wear them down a little, they are not real big up front, offensively or defensively, the lines. And so I think that they're, you know, that's going to be kind of their kryptonite, or could be. But they're very talented. I mean, Jason Shelley, I thought he was good last year. He looked great in that game. I'm really impressed by him. And he's playing in a game with Spencer Sanders, the Ryan quarterback, who's fantastic. And, you know, he could still stand out. Shelley could. So I think Lone Star, they're certainly a state contender in Division II. But the biggest takeaway I got from that game is Denton Ryan, who kind of struggled in those first 3 weeks, had to rally.
Mm-hmm.
They looked about as good as I've seen a 5A team in a long time. They look so physical and strong up front. And Spencer Sanders, I mean, try to contain that guy, quarterback. When he gets outside the pocket, he was throwing some really nice passes. And he runs not only fast, he finishes runs. He's tough. He runs over people.
Yeah, I had Denton Ryan number 2 in my AP poll. Moved him up to number 1 after beating Lone Star. They just now have 2 wins. They have a win over Lancaster, a win over Lone Star, 2 top 10 5A teams. So I pushed them above Manville. For me, speaking of Lancaster, watch them beat Lake Ridge. They are still really good, despite losing to Denton Ryan in week 1. On the other side, I thought Lake Ridge looked pretty good as well. I think Jason Bean came back from injury, and he's pretty legit. I think a lot of people were kind of expecting a huge drop-off there, but obviously...
When you go from offensive player of the
year,
it's hard not to. Right?
Yeah, you're going to have some drop-off, but he's definitely... A player, he can kind of carry that offense for you. So, Avi, just what did you kind of see in week, what is this, 4 now?
4, yeah. Just finished 4.
How about those Denton Broncos? I thought that was a good win.
Yeah.
You know, granted, you know, Keller Timber Creek is not, you know, we're not out here beating top 10 teams or whatnot. But for Denton as a 5A school to, excuse me, I'm extremely congested. It's a lovely thing. I'm sure you guys are really enjoying this. As a 5A school, Denton came back in that game, and they're now undefeated on the year, and you got to kind of beat who's on your schedule. I thought that was a really good win.
And Timber Creek was undefeated.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, right. I think they were like 25 in our rankings or something like that. So I don't know. It's just
– Also receiving votes.
Yeah.
So
we go to 20.
It kind of just speaks to like – And this is, you could kind of say this any year, but just the depth of Denton ISD. I would say, like, if you were to choose a multi-school ISD, you know, with the best football program right now, I mean, I'm not as familiar in Houston because I know there's, like, Houston districts with, like, 8 different schools in them. But, like, Denton ISD, between Denton High, Denton Ryan, and Denton Geyer, I mean, something in the water up there. I mean, they just continually,
yeah,
you know.
They're solid programs. Mansfield might have a little something to say about that because they have some depth.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, it's really impressive what's going on up there.
Right. I don't know. I think Sauk, that's a great win. First win of the year. In a very Sauk fashion, it's let's go schedule really, really hard teams, and then everybody sleeps on us, and then we come out and get a win like they did Saturday night against Carter, where they didn't just beat Carter. They scored enough to beat him a couple times. And that's, a you know, again, Carter's like, oh, well, it's a four. Well, that's a really good 4A program. So I think that's a nice win for Sauk and certainly gives us a better idea of who they are moving into district. Other than that, did we talk about Lancaster or Lake Ridge?
We did. What were your just impressions, though?
I mean, I like what Lancaster is doing. I think Lancaster, to me, is always just on that cusp where we can't talk about them as, like, the best team in 5A in our area, but they're always in the conversation, and I'm excited. I hope, you know, we'll see if they win district. That district is always fun, but, I mean, right now, I couldn't pick Waxahachie-Lancaster if you asked me. I'm not saying that game is this week, but for when it does, I don't have the schedule in front of me. I have no idea. I mean, Lancaster, just weapons across the field everywhere. Waxahachie, you know, I mean, they're rolling, man. They're absolutely rolling. I think they're definitely top five in our rankings. I don't know where they are now.
They're three.
They're two or three.
They moved up to number two this week in our 5A area.
So, I mean, that could potentially be for district, and that could be a lot of fun. I think the win of the week, though, might have been Rockwall against John Tyler. And I don't just say that because I picked them, you know, on the podcast. But, you know, Rockwall was another one of those teams like Sauk where they were winless and we weren't really sure. You know, God, they're getting really close. They're playing some really good teams. That John Tyler team is real good. I mean, they had their quarterback totaled over 600 yards, and Matt had a really cool article online. It probably ran in print, too, I'm assuming.
We're okay. We go online. Yeah.
And it was about how John Tyler had a player rack up over 600 yards by himself, and they still lost. And I think that speaks a lot to Rockwall's resilience and being able to have a big second half. And look, I mean, that's going to be another great district race between them. Longview's right in the thick of things. They beat Mesquite Horn pretty soundly. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I think, yeah, to go there and win the first week, that could be – I don't think Rockwall is going to be on the playoff bubble. But that's the kind of win where it's like – that gives you some wiggle room in a really tough district.
Right. Right. Because we're still trying to figure out – even Mesquite played, you know, North Mesquite this week, and North Mesquite kind of eked by.
That was a big win for North Mesquite.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the underrated part about that Rockwell win is that the fact they went to East Texas, talking to the legendary Matt Stepp over at Dave Campbell's, and he talked about just how difficult it was to go to East Texas. You got some home cooking there.
Whoa.
He's referring to the food. He's not referring to anything
I'm just
else.
Saying the food is a little different over there,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
So, so just to go there.
Squirrel.
That's low.
He went there.
That's low.
Yeah, just getting on a bus and going for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell Argyle about Argyle had a game canceled.
Yeah, they're not going to play.
Yeah. They're not going to make it up. So, they were playing Abilene. So go ahead.
Abilene and Wiley.
Right.
Yeah, and they went all the way in, and there was terrible
storms. You get nothing.
Yeah. That's rough. But just that 5A, you kind of alluded to it a little bit. Just the top 10 here in 5A is kind of all jumbled. You have Ryan. You have Lancaster. You have Waxahachie. You have Highland Park, Colleyville Heritage, all that kind of stuff. Just do you guys think we will get some sort of kind of – unanimous thought order there in that before the playoffs, or are we just never going to figure this one out?
No, I don't think we will. I think Ryan right now looks like it's, you know, kind of a cut above, but that Waxahachie-Lancaster game down the road, you know, if Waxahachie somehow really puts away Lancaster, maybe they fall into that range. But even as much as I like Ryan, I think it looks much more wide open than it usually does. You know, Aledo in recent years has been like, okay, Aledo's just pounding everybody. And, you know, I think they're all good. There are a lot of good teams out there, but that have vulnerabilities. And Ryan probably has the least of them from what I've seen at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Lancaster's tough because they played Ryan really close. I mean, they could have, you know, ball bounces one way or the other. They could have won that game. So after Ryan, I mean, if I were to give you Lone Star, Waxahachie, and Lancaster, I couldn't pick those 2, 3, 4. Like, I wouldn't know where to slot one or the other. And we're very fortunate that Hatchie and Lancaster are in the same district, so we get to kind of see how that's going to play out. But, you know, I think one thing that is kind of said every year needs to be said again is that it's very beneficial for these teams to be able to play competition within DFW because it helps for the playoffs. Because some of these teams come in rolling in the playoffs, you know, they're 11-0, 12-0, whatever it is, and then they come up against Lancaster, whose record doesn't look as good. And to an outsider, you're like, oh, well, the team that's undefeated, and Lancaster will just beat the doors off of them, you know. So I think the fact that some of these teams are playing really tough competition and scheduling well in non-district, which I think that Denton Ryan did a good job, Lancaster did a good job, Frisco Lone Star, for the most part, did a good job of scheduling tough competition in non-district, that's going to help them down the road.
Speaking of Lancaster, we have a special guest on the line right now, Lancaster coach Chris Gilbert. Chris, thanks for being here. First of all, I was at the Lancaster-Mansfield-Lakeridge game. I watched Omar Manning make one of the best catches I've probably ever seen in person. He was going one way. The throw was a little high, a little behind him. Jumps up, reaches with one hand, and brings it down.
Odell Beckham Jr. is it.
Yeah, you can see it on our website, but just what is your reaction when you watch Omar make that play there?
It was a great catch, but you know, I think that I probably wasn't as excited as everyone else because I kind of see those guys do it all the time. Cartrell and Omar, they have a ongoing one hand competition, which can kind of wear you out at times because you want them to catch it with both.
Right.
But they do it all the time at practice, and they have tremendous. Tremendous ball skills, you know, tremendous ball skills. So it's a pleasure. I'm glad he plays for us, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Well, hey, Coach, any time you can open district with a win is big, but in the district you guys play in and Lakeridge, another solid team, I mean, how much of a sigh of relief were you feeling after that game getting that win in a district that's going to be tight down to the end?
Big sigh of relief. You know, this district is so tough, like you said, and, you know, any team that can, you know, can make it out of this as one of the four teams in the playoffs, you've accomplished something just by getting out of this thing. You know, so getting the first win, and especially with against one of the teams that's in definitely, you know, in most, you know, I guess, you know, beliefs that they're going to be one of the four teams. So to have a chance to start off, you know, 1-0 is definitely better than 0-1, and having to, you know, kind of climb out after the first week.
Do you know who is winning the one-handed catch competition?
Oh man, I bet not say that. I bet not say that. That'll start some controversy at practice. And but both of those guys, and you know, unbelievable with it. I think Cartrell was the guy that first started doing it at practice. You know, that's kind of like his deal. He does it on the ball machine and. He does it on the sideline. He wants to do it, you know, all the time. And Omar kind of got involved, and it's an ongoing thing. But you know, it's a fun thing to watch. You know, they love doing it.
Coach, one of the things you said at the tail end of your answer is, you know, I'm glad they play for us, which obviously you're referring to rather than the competition. But I am curious because, you know, at a program like Lancaster, you guys produce some of the best athletes in the area are coming out of your program. And I'm curious, you know, has IMG Academy ever reached out to one of your players, tried to recruit them? And what do you just tell your players in general, like, I guess more some of your D1 guys that, like, hey, if this ever happens, like, you know, this is what to do? I'm just kind of curious how you approach that situation if it ever has arisen.
Well, I think that's a great question. And I think, you know, we all love social media. Social media has some great positives, but social media also has some scary things to it. You know, just accessibility, to be able to, you know, go on and basically search a kid's name and pull him up and to be able to you know, put a follow-up request in and be able to communicate with some of the players. And so we're always kind of, you know, educating the guys on who to kind of talk to, who not to talk to, or try to advise them. You know, we can't control them 24/7 and who they have a relationship with. You know, but we can just try to give them, you know, some guidance on to be aware of all of those people that are reaching out to them. D1 these kids have so many folks that are reaching out to them once they become popular players. You know, guys want to make sure that, you know, sometimes they have guys attaching themselves to the players. And so we've kind of tried to tell them about, you know, to be smart about who they communicate with. And I'm sure, you know, that they've been contacted by different people. Sometimes they tell me, most of the time they do, and you know, sometimes they don't. But in particular, they have not told me, IMG in particular. But, you know, you never know who's associated with IMG. So that's kind of the thing that we are always concerned about.
Is there a way, I mean, do you think, just to kind of pull back on that, or is that just something that the kids kind of have to take responsibility and do themselves?
Well, I think that, you know, once we're aware of kind of what's going on, I think we definitely have our staff advise them. And, you know, because we have we're busy with a lot of recruiting. We have coaches that are assigned to recruiting. And so if not myself, then someone on my staff, we kind of try to keep up with what's going on with them, with recruiters, with guys that are, you know, personal coaches, you know, recruiting services contacting them. All of those things nowadays are kind of intertwined. The personal coaches are intertwined with the recruiters, and the recruiters are intertwined with some of the, you know, prep schools and all of these things. So it's a very, very, you know, broad web of folks involved with, you know, high school athletics nowadays.
Just kind of speaking of the amount of athletes you have on your team, probably one of the fastest teams I've seen this year. I think you said at one point this is one of the fastest teams you've had. Do you ever get them just line up and race each other?
You know, we haven't done that in a while. You know, we do a lot of that kind of stuff in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was kind of made aware of just how fast we were during off season testing. We were, you know, we test right before we began our boot camp to see where we are. And I probably witnessed the two fastest 40s that I witnessed as a coach this past offseason with LT Jesse and Jordan Hollis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both of the coaches clocked them both at a 4.3, but I wouldn't let them give it to them. Now, we're not going to tell them they're 4.3.
Right.
We just, you know, we had to be a little quick on that or something. But, you know, we have a pretty fast football team, and not just those guys that are, you know, exceptionally fast, but we have some guys that are, you know, in the 4.5 to 4.7 range that, you know, would be the fastest guys on a lot of teams.
Right.
Know? So the speed is a great asset, of course, goes without saying.
Coach,
go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, last year, you get, you know, Ryan Ross moves in and almost immediately one of the leading passers in the area. I can't remember the numbers, but I mean, it was, I can't even do that well in Madden. And then this year, you know, Trevor Hatton comes in as a junior and it looks like he's just got that offense humming once again. Are you kind of a quarterback whisperer in our area? I mean, how do you get these guys to come in and be so effective so early?
No, I can't take credit for that. I think we've been lucky about getting some guys, you know, that kind of understand what we're trying to do. And Ryan, when he came in, you know, he had, you know, had been a varsity guy for two seasons. His biggest deal was just coming in, learning our system, and then we just tailored our system around what he did the best. And we knew he had a quick release, and he was great at taking what the defense gave him, and so all of our offense was tailored around that. With Trevor's skill set is a little bit different. Trevor is a little bit more of a mobile quarterback. You know, he doesn't mind pulling it down and running. And also, Trevor has, just like Ryan, you know, he has a great mind as far as, you know, taking what the defense is giving him. We don't try to make all of these guys fit the same mold. We try to take what they do the best and then build around what they do. And all the time I ask him, I say, hey, okay, what you feel comfortable with this week? What do you want the first play to be? You know, they get to pick some of those things and just to build some comfort with them as the game starts. And Trevor has just gotten better every week. So we're excited about his skill set. We're excited about how he is as a leader. And the good thing about him, you know, he's a junior, so we get him back next year.
You guys have a lot of good juniors. That's always a nice thing to have.
oh, it's an awesome thing to have, you know, and to look there to see these guys getting good experience and to be able to return next year will be a good deal.
Just when you have a new quarterback coming in, how long does it take for you to know, like, or to really feel comfortable with him back there under center and just kind of leading the offense there?
You know, that's a deal that I think what we try to do is we try to put them in a whole lot of situational type stuff in practice. That's the first thing we do. We try to put some pressure on them in practice, make them compete. You know, our defense is you know, has some guys that can rush you. And the next thing is, you know, our preseason schedule. Once we name a starter, we want to try to have a schedule together that'll be challenging. And even if it means that, you know, we have to take one on the chin early in order for us to gain some ground for them to be ready by district, we're willing to do that. And then just to see what we have with the starter. And that's a process because when you have a first-year guy, he still hasn't seen everything. It takes a full season for a quarterback to see just about everything, you know, and that's if you get a decent playoff run. You can't see everything in preseason games. You can't see everything in district games. And I told Mike when he came out, you know, for midnight practice, you know, we just got to get done with all these firsts. You know, he had the first varsity game. Now he had the first road game. And now he just had the first district game. And now he's going to have the first district road game. You know, and so all of these things have to happen to him. And he's thinking about those things. You know, he may not admit it, but he is. You know, so we kind of go from there and just let him, you know, build some stripes along the way.
Coach, last question for you. Might be the most important one we've asked. Who you got, Cedar Hill or DeSoto?
Oh, my goodness. You're going to make me pick them.
You can slip away and go, yeah, if you need to.
Is your reception breaking up? Is that?
hey, you know what? That's going to be a great game. And the thing, you know, I got buddies on both of those coaching staffs over there, and the guys at DeSoto, and you know, and I'm really close with the guys, you know, over at Longhorn Nation, Coach McGuire, good buddy of mine, and just due to the relationship I have with Joey, I gotta turn those horns loose.
Wow.
I'm not scared to pick anybody around here, man.
Hey, maybe we'll have you on every week.
Yeah.
Do we hear guest picker?
I'm not going to be political, baby. I'm going to go with the horns.
All right. I like it. All right. Thank you very much for coming on and for, like, stepping up here.
They may come and find my truck and mess me up or something now.
Right. Hope thanks, Coach.
Enjoy the green paint.
No problem, guys. Enjoy it, y'all.
All right. Have a good rest of the season.
All
right,
later.
All right. Let's move into segment three and the game that originally swept the nation and then stopped sweeping the nation, but I think it's on a comeback now.
Don't call it a comeback.
It's the Nobody Believes in Us
game. It's been here for weeks.
And if you're new to the pod, every week we each pick one team who we think is going to A, win, and B, say, nobody believed in us.
Sleeping on us. They're sleeping on us.
Exactly.
Sleeping emoji.
All that kind of stuff. So last week, we had history in the Nobody Believes in Us game. Somebody actually won.
We're on the board, baby.
So I picked Carter, and they lost. And the embarrassing thing about that was I thought they were going to be an underdog, but our pickers picked Carter.
Right. We're not bright.
Joe, who is not here, picked Midlothian. They lost. Matt picked Mesquite. They lost.
But
they did make
barely.
It was close game.
Yeah, that was a good pick.
I didn't have the guts to actually pick him in the paper. I picked North Mesquite, so it shows it was bad.
But Avi picked Rockwall.
Woohoo!
And Rockwall,
Jacket Fight Never Dies, baby.
As we mentioned, goes to East Texas.
Didn't pick him in the paper.
Beats Tyler John Tyler. I was going to get to that. So Avi gets 1 point. He could have doubled it
if
he picked them in the paper. He did not.
But
did you hear any sort of talk about the haters, anybody sleeping on them, nobody believed in them? Because that's an extra 3 points.
Well, can I just lie?
No.
Oh.
You have to show proof.
Oh. Right. No. No, I think Rockwell in general is not the bunch that... I mean, like, sometimes they're... I like their Twitter account, RISD Sports. Like,
shout
they,
out.
They can be kind of snarky, which I enjoy. But no, I don't think there was... Like, I didn't explicitly see anything that was like they were sleeping on us. But then again, I don't... You know, I don't follow a lot of Rockwell people.
Okay. So you just get the 1 point.
I do.
So...
That's fine. I will take my 1 point and go home.
Our updated standings. Avi with 1 point.
I can't keep up with the scoring.
I have 0 points. Matt has 0 points. Joe Hoyt, 0 points. So,
what's up, Baltimore DMV? We at you.
So, let's go into this week. A lot of games. A lot of games. A lot of big games. I don't know if
some big games.
I don't know if it's a great
it's a
nobody believes in us week. Yeah,
it's a top-heavy schedule.
That was going to be my point.
Sorry.
But... I'll go first here, and my pick for the Nobody Believes in This team is Jesuit playing Coppell.
Ooh.
District matchup.
Ooh.
I'm going on the hope that Jesuit quarterback Jacob Polish is back for this game.
Inside information.
I do not have any inside information at this point, but I think that was kind of the hope when he first went out. So they open district. They are 0-3 on the season.
They've played a really tough schedule.
Yes, played a tough schedule. They play Coppell. Coppell showed kind of some fight there against Allen, a number one team in the state at this point. I think Coppell's good. I think Jesuit just could have a little like a little extra boost here and take it. There's no real like
at Jesuit.
Yeah, at Jesuit, I do like that. That was one of the reasons
they
did.
They got a good student section.
Yeah. So no real like stats or anything. Basing off this,
no
I'm just
facts,
I'm just going with a gut feel here, and I'm taking Jesuit. Matt, who are you looking at?
Wow, the gut feel. Okay, well, that's pretty much what I'm going with, too. I'm going to take Mesquite Poteet to beat Wiley East.
Ooh.
Now, and I had to kind of clear this with the other members of the Nobody Believes in This game. Because
this is true.
High Council.
I think Poteet's pretty legit. They've played some tough teams. They lost to Denton Ryan, and they lost to Mansfield Lake Ridge. And both were pretty good games. They were competitive. So I think, you know, boy, this is a big game, too. District, that's a tough district. I think Poteet, you know, they might be able to do it. I have total respect for Eno Benjamin. He's one of my favorite players to watch, and I've talked to him a few times. And I love that he's now this the running back quarterback hybrid because they just don't have anybody else to play quarterback. But as good as he is, that does limit him somewhat in that, you know, hey, there's the focus. He was going to be the focus anyway, but it's, you know, the ball's being snapped to him. It's all about, you know. I think Poteet might be able to win this one. I have a lot of respect for Poteet and Coach Cody Groves. He's usually gets the most out of what he's got.
Yeah, Poteet with a lot of athletes. Their JV went undefeated last year. I think that's one of my favorite sort of fun facts I figured out in the preseason. So, yeah, a lot of athletes and a lot of maybe younger kids who played on that JV kind of coming into their own as we get toward mid-season here. There was a lengthy appeals process that Matt had to go through, but he did get it cleared.
I'm glad you walked over the coals. That was impressive.
I know. I'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah, so he did get it cleared, so that is a legitimate pick as far as we are right now. Avi, who are you going with?
I have two games that I was considering. One, Wiley versus Plano East.
I did think about that game as well.
You got an East team that's struggling a little bit, and you know Wiley's one of those can sneak up behind you and get you. However, this is the game I'm going to go with, and I'm going to see who's considered the favorite.
Okay.
I like Summit over Lake Ridge as a nobody. Is that, how do we feel about that?
I would consider Lake Ridge the favorite.
Okay.
I think that's similar to a Poteet Wiley East in that I think they're both quality teams, but I would make Lake Ridge the favorite.
Right. And I like Summit this game. Summit is 2-2, very deceiving 2-2. They open the season losing to Mansfield. Then they take out all their aggression against Saginaw Chisholm Trail and Fort Worth Paschal. Don't allow a single point. They got waxed last week against Waxahachie, which I just like using that verb with that team. But a lot of teams are going to get waxed by the Indians. So I'm going to choose Summit over Lake Ridge.
Yeah, Summit with a new coach, Shannon Hall, coming over from Colleen Shoemaker, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so some more comfort there maybe going into week five here. So not a bad pick. Not a bad pick. Now,
that's what I strive for everything in life. Look, it's not bad.
Right. I mean, I think the real question is, will you pick them in the paper?
I might actually pick. You know what I don't like about our pick'em is that we don't email it in. We see everybody else's picks.
That is true. Used to be that way. This is the first year where you can basically see everybody's picks.
And so I know, like, sometimes if everybody's going left, I'll go right just to, like, make it interesting if it's, you know, an even call. Because you figure, like, the payoff is, like, oh, you get one where everybody else doesn't. So whatever. But I don't know. Yeah, I think I'll pick Summit in the paper. I like him.
Wow, going for the double or nothing. I like it.
We'll see how I feel tomorrow morning.
He could take a nearly insurmountable 3-0 lead.
Yeah. I think Boedeker's still winning the pick 'em in the paper, by the way. I have to tally up the totals from this past week, but I was hanging in there. I was definitely like 2 or 3.
I entered this week in last place, but let's move on to DeSoto and Cedar Hill, kind of the game of the week here. Matt, you're going to be out there. You've been talking to these teams during kind of the bye week. Just what is your kind of initial thoughts here on this game?
Yeah, well, my initial thought is a real obvious one. I mean, it is just one of the most fun games every year. I think I've been at pretty much every DeSoto-Cedar Hill game over the last 5-6 years. And that's just because it doesn't matter what the stakes are. The neighborhood rivalry is so intense there. I mean, those communities are, I mean, it's not just like a little away from each other. They're butted up against each other. A lot of the kids compete together on track teams and youth sports and that, so they know each other well. And so it's really intense out there. That's one of the reasons I love it. But it's huge stakes this year because the loser is probably going to be the runner-up in Division II, 6A, and you're going to have to go play at some school, take a road trip in the first round. So who am I going to pick? I don't know. both these teams are really good, but I think in games like this where, I mean, both teams are so loaded athletically, offensively, I think it's going to come down to turnovers, mistakes, and special teams too, because these teams are notoriously return kicks for touchdowns against each other like constantly, sometimes back-to-back. So I think it'll be a pretty high-scoring game, and it'll probably be a long game, deadline fun, but it'll be a fantastic game.
How much different is this year compared to other years in this game?
Well, I think from the players' perspective, not much,
yeah,
because they're just not weighing any of that. It's just like it's Cedar Hill week or it's DeSoto week. Mm-hmm. From a perspective, the coaches probably won't say that either, but I mean, there really is huge stakes playoff-wise. I think you get a much easier road if you win this game. And, of course, they've got other people they've got to play in District 2. They play in a pretty good district. So it's not like, hey, you clinch district title with a win here. But probably the winner of this is going to be that top seed, is going to get to host a game in the first round. And it just makes things a little easier in the playoffs.
Tell Cedar Hill that.
Yeah, Cedar Hill, they suffered that fate last year.
All right, Avi, real quick, what else are you looking at?
I'm looking at how healthy is Avery Davis. I mean, he's getting better. He got an off week to you know, heal up. It was his ankle, yeah?
Yeah.
And, you know, Garrett McGuire had been the starter the last 2 weeks, I believe, not counting the bye. I think that's going to be an interesting point, you know, is who's going to be the starter and how long is that person going to stay out there. Other than that, I mean, I can just say a lot of things that people already know. We're just, these two teams are loaded in skill positions, and both teams have certainly had some struggles, in non-district against really good teams. So, I mean, the difference is just so razor thin. I mean, really, you could go either way on this one.
Yeah, just I agree with everything you guys said. elsewhere, Denton Ryan, as we mentioned, there's Wiley East Mesquite Poteet, just kind of
Rockwell Heath
as well. One out of state game to look for, Converse Judson for Sibylla Steele. Two top
out
10.
Of area, UC Dallas State.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's around right. The state type. That's a yeah, big one.
San Antonio still in Texas.
I'm sorry.
The state is so big.
I apologize.
No, it's okay. That's a huge game. That's huge.
So keep that in mind when you're just kind of looking around for the scores. For Avi, for Matt, for me. Go to sportsahs.com, at sportsahs on Twitter, facebook.com/sportsahs, Instagram sportsahs. Go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review. Tell us your Nobody Believes in Us team and how much you like Avi just in general, I guess.
Subscribe.
Yeah, you got to subscribe. And we'll see you on Friday night.